true this is for you, but let's throw a scenario out. How many of you feel pressure to show up to church on a Sunday morning and feel like you got it all together? When you battled that morning getting the kids to wake up, you put on your outfit for church, you spilled something on it, you burnt breakfast, the kids won't mind, your husband won't listen to you. That doesn't happen in my house. And by the time you get to church, your stress level's to 10, you're ready to strangle somebody, and you walk through the front doors, and someone says, "How's it going?" And you say, "Oh, okay, good, fine, blessed. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm overly blessed. God has just blessed me so much." Have you ever felt like you've had to put on? We come up with spiritual words to make it sound like there's no problem here. But on the inside, you feel completely different. And we're guilty of this. I threw out that scenario in the first service, and I had one person reply, "That's every day. It's not just Sunday." And for you, perhaps it is every day or most days. You get to work, you talk to some friends, how's it go? Good, great, okay, fine. Blessed, so blessed. Life is great. Every moment's a blessing from God. But on the inside, you don't feel like that. And we're starting a 6-week series this morning talking about how we can honor God in our feelings and our emotions. We have to admit, every single human being has feelings and emotions. And it's healthy for us to figure out biblically how we can use our feelings and our emotions to honor God and continue to build our faith and follow after Jesus Christ. Now, I've mentioned feelings and emotions, and probably a lot of the guys in the room are thinking, "You know, I don't know much about my feelings and emotions, but I know how I feel about talking about my emotions for 6 weeks." And perhaps you might be thinking that, and perhaps there's a reason for that. Maybe this is something that needs to be brought up for you in your life. In fact, it's something that each and every one of us need to face, because we all have feelings and emotions. Where do you think your anger, sadness, apathy, loneliness, those feelings, where do they come from? We need to figure that out. And what direction are they taking us? Because it's important that we face our emotions and our feelings in a Christ-like way, because it'll be a game changer in our life. Over the years in the church, emotions and faith were taught, they're just things that they don't go together. And as a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a churchgoer, you're supposed to have feelings that you just feel. You should just be happy. Or you should just have joy. Oh, you're anxious? No, you can't be anxious. Be patient. And we're told how we should feel when on the inside we don't feel that way, and we put pressure on ourselves to feel how we're supposed to feel, when in turn it accelerates the emotions that we're going through. We'll say stress and anxiety. And you try to appear that you don't have that, and in the attempt to appear you don't have that, it accelerates your stress and your anxiety and makes it worse. And so we have that internal struggle. And for each and every one of us, I hope that we want to continue to grow spiritually and be mature in our faith, but we also have to grow and be healthy emotionally as well. And so we're going to take a look over the next few weeks of how we can handle our feelings and our emotions. And we're going to be looking at the Psalms, looking at David. You think back to the Old Testament David. He's a man's man. He's a king. He has an army. He slayed the giant when he was just a boy. But you read the Psalms and you see David as an emotional kind of guy. The ups and downs of life, they would tug at his heart, and he would make pleas to God. And you read through the Psalms and you see how he's able to work through his feelings and emotions with God, not without God. But this morning we're going to start with Jesus as the supreme example. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 26 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 26. Scholars have studied the life of Jesus and picked out many different things. And one of the things that scholars picked up on is Jesus had feelings and emotions. And through the Gospels, it's been concluded that Jesus went through 39 different emotions. And so Jesus understood how our lives are and how they can be and how our emotions and our feelings can get the best of us. And we can look at the example of Jesus and how to handle our emotions, our feelings, in a Christ-like way. Having emotions is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being a human being. And it's not wrong to have emotions. We just have to know how to handle them and how to approach them in a biblical way. And so that's what we're going to try to accomplish over the next few weeks. But to start out, it's helpful to understand where the word emotion comes from. The word emotion in the Latin, it's a Latin word, emover, which means to move. Our emotions, they move us, and they take us places. And something that I've found that helps me in understanding my feelings or my emotions is emojis. How many of you like emojis? How many of my wife, if you get text from her, you know you're going to get several, right? She loves emojis. She's like searching her phone, and anytime a new update that comes, she can't wait to see the new ones. Well, I got a few emojis to show you. Sometimes we feel happy, right? Happy. But on the inside, we feel sad. Sometimes we just want to be calm, cool, collective. But on the inside, we feel exhausted, stressed, right? Sometimes we want to put on that plastic fake smile. And you're trying to deal with somebody, and it's not going good. It's your spouse, it's your coworker, and you're feeling like that. And then it level rises, and you feel like that. And then sometimes we have a slip. And so for you and I, we have to examine this in our life. It's good to look internally and find out what's going on here. What's the source of my anger, my frustration, my sadness, my loneliness? And we're going to use the example of Jesus because we see how Jesus was able to work through a difficult time. When we think about our emotions, they have a way of taking us places we didn't really necessarily want to go. And sometimes we get to that place and we think, how did I get here? And we didn't pay attention to what was going on the inside. And God has designed our emotions to take us places. You could think of your emotions as a vehicle. And where is your stress going to take you? Where is your anger going to take you? Where's your thoughts of life isn't even worth it anymore? Where's that going to take you? It's kind of like a road sign. And on the road sign of life, you're going to go one way or another. One way is going to lead you closer in relationship with Christ, and the other is going to lead you away. And what are we allowing our emotions to do? What direction are they taking us? Perhaps you're feeling shame. Is your shame going to take you to the road of isolation, or is it going to take you to the road of forgiveness in Christ? Perhaps you're feeling lonely. Is your loneliness going to take you in the direction of depression and despair, or connection and more of a dependence on God? And so you need to realize your emotions are a vehicle taking you somewhere. And it's hard to believe this at times, but all of our emotions have a way of drawing us closer to God if we know how to handle them in a biblical way. Matthew 26 is where we're going to look here in a moment. Jesus is going to have one of those days. How many of you have ever woke up in the morning and you already knew, I'm going to have a confrontation at work. You already know what's going to happen. You know you've got to meet with the principal and teacher at school. You know you've got to have a conversation with your spouse when you both get home from work. You know you're going to have a conversation with your kid because you had to meet with the teacher and the principal. And you just know you're heading into a day, it's going to be hard. Matthew 26, Jesus knows that he's going to meet in the upper room in Jerusalem with his disciples. And he knows he's going to point out that one of these disciples is going to deny me 3 times. He's going to point out that one of the disciples has already disowned Jesus. He's a traitor. Jesus knows when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, 3 of his closest friends are going to fall asleep when Jesus says to keep watch. Jesus knows he's going to be arrested, put onto a mock trial, beaten, bloodied, and hung on a cross to die. He knows that. Not a good day. And so where do we find Jesus in Matthew 26? Go to verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He then said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will." Luke, in his recollection of what happened there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke, you might remember, was a doctor. He points out that as Jesus fell to his knees in anguish, the anxiety had gotten to the point that as he sweated drops of blood. This is a medical condition. It's very rare. It's called hemarthrosis. It's when the sweat glands, the capillaries in the sweat glands, because of high stress and anxiety, they burst and blood mixes with sweat. And that's where we see Jesus. Not in a good place. And if this were any other person than Jesus, people would try to talk Jesus down from this. "Oh, come on, don't feel this way. Have faith. God still loves you. You shouldn't feel that way." But it's where we see Jesus. It's how Jesus felt. And I hope as we read about Jesus in this point, you would feel freed from what many Christians have shackled people with, that you should just be happy. Because oftentimes we've done that. I've been guilty of it. Maybe not knowing what's going on in someone's life, but thinking, "Man, why don't you just need to be happy? You're a follower of Jesus. Be happy." Well, sometimes life overwhelms us, and it's comforting to know that we can talk to God and say, "I'm overwhelmed," and Jesus would say, "I know just what you mean. I know where you're at. I felt your struggle. Life is not easy." When we talk about this in this setting, it's kind of hard. One thing I love about this church is that it's multi-generational. That we have young people. We have people my age. I don't know what I consider myself. And then we have middle-aged to getting more mature. A wide range of ages. And so, depending upon when you were raised, you were taught how to handle your emotions. So an example is this. If you are a boomer, a baby boomer, if you were born mid-60s and later, you're in that category. And many of you were taught there are certain emotions you just don't talk about. You don't bring them up. You don't talk about it. You just kind of stuff it down deep. And we just ignore it. But what we know is eventually those feelings, they come to surface. And it can get real ugly. Now, the other group are those raised by the boomers, the Gen Xers and the millennials, and we've swung the whole different direction from emotional avoidance to emotional indulgence. That however you feel, it must be right. However you feel, don't let anybody change your mind. If that's how you feel, that's who you are, and that's what you should do. And that's highly dangerous as well. And it's not what Scripture teaches, and it's not the example of Jesus at all. You see, our emotions can be a gauge. A few years ago, the first church I worked at, we got in the car. We lived between Salem and Mount Vernon. Lived in a small town, and we need to go to Salem. And we got in the van, and the gas gauge needle was on the E. I mean, on the E. The little town we lived in had a gas station on the interstate. Guess what they did to their gas prices? I was not going to pay 20 cents a gallon more because it was on empty. You know how many gallons of gas it'll take to fill our van up? And so we got two little kids. It's middle of summer. It's hot. And we get in the van and we back out. And Tristan's like, "You know how much gas?" "Oh, we'll make it." We literally left the edge of town and I see a red light flashing. Looking at the light, looking at her. She hadn't caught on yet. So I grab the steering wheel 10 and 2, which I never do. I'm kind of a casual driver, you know. And so I grab the wheel, and I got big arms, so she can't see, right? And so I'm doing this, hoping she can't see the gas gauge. And we're cruising down the road, and I could tell she's looking over me like, "Why is he driving like that?" Because he never drives like that. And we're continuing down the highway, we're getting closer. And man, drops of sweat. There wasn't any blood in it, but man, it was sweat. I was starting to sweat it. We're getting closer. I'm thinking, we're going to make it. I'm going to save that $4.50 and we're going to make it. And I could say, "Yes, I told you so." And we're getting near the edge of town. And all of a sudden, I don't take my foot off the accelerator, but the car starts to slow down. She looks over at me and said, I saw the red light flashing. I knew we were out of gas. What was that gauge there for? To give me a warning, to give me an indication that something needed to happen, something needed to change. And I saw it, and I knew, and I had someone else pointing it out for me. And our emotions are similar to this. Our emotions, our feelings are a gauge as to what's happening in our life. We can see it. We see it. We see what's going on. We get mad. We get angry. We see it. Other people, they see it. And our emotions are a gauge as telling us, you're kind of out of control. Something needs to change. And so we need to pay close attention to our emotions, because our emotions can get the best of us at times. And in Matthew 26, Jesus shows how our feelings, they can be released to God so that then God can help us through what it is we're going through. So here's lesson number one that Jesus teaches. Don't go it alone. In Matthew 26, verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He's talking to Peter and James and John, his closest three friends of the 12 disciples, that Jesus had had other intimate conversations and times with them, and he brings them along in this moment of high stress and anxiety and says, I want you guys to be with me. And one of the worst things that we can do in life is try to navigate life all by ourselves. Because we need other people that can come alongside of us, that we can trust, that we can lean on, that'll be there for us. And I don't know who that is for you. That could be a friend, maybe a spouse. Maybe at this point in your life, it could be one of your own children. But find who those people are and bring them with you. And Jesus gives us that example here when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane in the most pressure-packed moment of Jesus' life. Now, I don't want it to come across that you show up on a Sunday morning and you walk up to someone and you just throw up all over them. You just, you know, my spouse did this, and my kids won't do that, and at work, and this, and that, and I just was wanting to know, how's it going? But you find those people, that you find those people that you can trust, and that you can live life with, and that they can help you through those hard times. It's not weak for you to be honest. It's not weak, because Jesus was very honest as we read about this part of his life. He was very honest about how he felt, and he needed someone else to go along with him. It's very much Jesus to do this. The second thing that Jesus teaches is to prioritize your faith over your feelings. And this can be really hard at times. What we see Jesus doing, he aligns how he feels. He plainly says to the disciples and to God how he feels, but then he aligns that with what he believes, his faith. And the truth of God. In Matthew 26, verse 39, it says here that Jesus, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, I mean, he admits he doesn't like this. He doesn't feel this. And for those who are in the emotional indulgence camp, this is hard stuff to hear. Because we want to take how we feel and justify so we can do what we want. And Jesus shared how he felt to God, but then he aligned that with God's will for his life. And that's what you and I need to do. We can feel how we feel, but then we align that with God and what God wants in our life so that we can stay close to the Father, that we take that path, that vehicle in our emotions, and it continues to go towards Jesus. And so if you feel like losing your temper, and man, you want to let someone have it. You want to punch a hole through that wall. You stop yourself. How do I align this with what God wants? Perhaps you feel like, I'm going to go spend some money. I got the itch. I want to spend some money. Run up the credit card debt. That's how you feel. But then align that with what God would want for you in your life. Perhaps you decide, you know what? This marriage isn't worth it. Let's just get a divorce. Start all over again. Fresh new start. But then you align that with what God would want for you in your life, and then you make a decision from there. You might feel these things, but that doesn't mean they're true. And that's how Jesus felt. He felt the weight of the moment, but then he said, Father, not as I will, but as you will. And that's for you and I to make that decision. And what you feel at times, it's very real. Life is real, but it doesn't always mean it's true. You might say, I'm lonely. And we can feel lonely in life, but I would also encourage you that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're never alone because we have Christ. You may say, I feel guilt and shame. And I would remind you that Romans chapter 8, Paul writes that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can always guide our emotions, our feelings, in a biblical way towards Christ. So align our feelings with God and what He wants for you in your life. God can really work in you and through you. The third lesson Jesus teaches is be honest with the Father. In Matthew 26, verse 39 that we just read, Jesus refers to God, and He uses the Greek word Abba, which means daddy. When we think about God, we think of this powerful God that rules the universe and is the creator of everything we know, and He sustains life, and He'll judge us at the end of time. We think of God in those terms. But do you realize that God is also your Father? He's your daddy. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And this side of eternity, love, we're faulty with love. We mess that up a lot. God's not. God loves us in a way that we just can't quite understand. But how would that be a game changer for you, that you could be honest with your daddy and share with Him how you're feeling and what you're going through and say, God, I want You to take me through this. God really wants to redeem your emotions, but He can't do it until you release them to Him. And so He's waiting. He's waiting and He's listening. I mentioned earlier, your emotions are like a vehicle. And vehicles take you places, right? Perhaps this morning, you need to pull your vehicle over and get out of the driver's seat and invite Jesus in, not to be the passenger, but for Jesus to get behind the wheel. While you're at it, go to the back doors, open the back doors, and invite a few friends along to get in the back seat with you. And then get in the passenger seat and look at Jesus and say, all right, where do we need to go today? This emotion in my life's got me. Jesus, where do we need to go? I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm anxious. I'm frustrated, whatever the emotion might be, would you be willing to pull over the car and say, Jesus, You take the wheel. I got some friends with me that I can depend on as well. Take me in the direction I need to go. Could you make that choice? Could you make that decision each day to manage your emotions and your feelings in a biblical way, just like Jesus did? Jesus felt the pain and the struggle that's real, but He also knew who God was. And that's my hope for everyone that's here this morning. The pain, the struggle, it's real, but that you would know that God really, really cares, and He is really, really there. I want this to be a church where we don't have to feel like we have to come in and put on the plastic smile and say, oh, it's good, it's okay, I'm blessed, I'm so blessed. That you can find those who can be real with you, who can pray for you, who can encourage you, and that you would lean in on God when you're feeling the weight of your emotions and your feelings. This morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to worship together. And you might remember back when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pretty emotional time, but in a good way. And if you want to experience that emotion this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that He can take a hold of the wheel of your life and guide you through, we welcome you this morning to make that decision. Or if nothing else, at least to start the conversation. And a lot of you have made that decision. As we worship through this song, give God the praise that He's due, thanking Him for how He's guided you this far. And perhaps you need to release some emotions, some feelings to the Lord, and renew that relationship that you've had with God. Let's stand together and let's worship.